So hello and welcome to the Talk Tonight podcast. Today I'm joined with the great Leslie. Lads, it's great to have you on.
Thanks for having us. Hey,
thanks for having us.
Just to get the ball rolling, who are you? The great Leslie. What is the great Leslie?
It's the greatest band ever in the world of alt rock.
I mean, you have got the great. Oh. I mean, that should be.
That's a bold claim.
That's what's there. Claim.
Who's Leslie though? Yeah. And what's so great about him?
just everything. I mean, you come to our gigs, everything's great, and you think you leave the night and you think, well, this is a great night. That's why we call the Great Leslie. No, the name comes from a film which was like one of mine and my brother's favourite films when we were kids, and one of the characters was called the Great Leslie, and that just stuck, and everyone liked it.
That is probably one of the greatest name inspirations that I've ever heard from any band that's been on. I mean, I had the other week, I had the Royston Club one. They were named after a club in Wrexham, well, in the village opposite. And then at the Baltics on, that's probably named after the cold weather in Newcastle. No offence to those lads. But, you know, this it's a very creative name. Because when you look at it, the Great Leslie, you know, people look at that and that's it's a bit too long for a band name.
But, I mean, I think we had so many choices, didn't we, Kev?
Yeah, but then I think you can always, you know, there's scope to abbreviate it down to the GL later on and all the hashtags and stuff, so it can work.
Hashtag the GL.
Yeah.
The GL.
Go on.
We had a list of like 50 names and we kind of just withered them down, and that was the one that stuck the most, I think. Yeah.
So one thing I want to touch on, because I listened to your track Money, and obviously you are described as an alternative rock band. What are the influences? What are the sounds that, like, you know, what influenced the sounds in that song?
No idea.
I wanted to just bash it out.
Honestly, don't know.
Just picked up a guitar and went, "Oh, this sounds good." No, I don't know.
I think it just sort of comes along. I think the beauty of having that alternative side of things is that you don't really have to stick to any one genre. Mm. And that you can sort of be free to sort of flow between it all. And I think, I know that everyone sort of feels that, like, being, I think, pigeonholed is quite difficult, because then you're limiting where you're writing from and when you're drawing from. So I think it's quite handy to sort of just be a little bit more open with it, especially in the rehearsal studio where anything goes, and then pre-production where you can just basically chuck everything on the track and then strip it down until it sits really nicely where you want it to be.
Yeah.
So I think that really helps it.
The thing with most bands in the alternative, modern day alternative genre, they're sort of like are pigeonholed into the one genre of sort of, you know, sounding the same. Especially you see it with most bands like the Cartinas and, you know, many of the bands that influence themselves from them. Mm. You know, the great what can the Great Leslie offer to the upcoming British music scene?
I think. The one thing that we do, like Jason so eloquently put, was the fact that we are in alt rock is such a varied genre in of itself, subgenre of rock, and we dance between certain different influences, you know, like, well, dance music, you know, EDL and various other things. Well, that's dance has mostly been our most recent kind of influence, but we have a sound, but we can move to loads of different areas. And I think just opening up that idea that you don't have to stick to a certain, you know, thing when you, a certain few ideas when you're creating, you know, an album or a set of songs, you can really expand and be something more than just saying, this is who we are. You know, you can, and I think that's, I don't know if that's something that is more indicative of society now, especially with when we're talking about gender and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can go and be a lot more than just what people will traditionally think you should or shouldn't be.
Well, listen.
Exactly, but still draw inspiration from you know, anything you want. So, like you said, yeah. Bowie, right through to like Disclosure, or, you know, Old Chase and Stays, like anything. If it influences you, then you can still draw from that and take what you like from it. And then add it, put your own spin on it. And I think that's what the freedom of that alternative scene gives to it.
Well, I mean, that's quite the mixture, though. Disclosure and David Bowie, that's like something that you don't hear often about people's influences, because they're completely two different, complete genres. and two complete genres.
Yeah, man. But, I don't know. Love music, hate genres. If a track's good, it's good.
So what we're saying is down with genres.
No, I just don't try not to be pigeonholed by them. Try stand your scope out a little bit.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, that's a great
perspective on music completely, because obviously more upcoming bands are probably listening to this and thinking, oh, I've got to be pigeonholed to one specific genre of alternative rock. But then you've got yous who are like Disclosure and Bowie, and they're like, why not? Why not throw some Beatles and EDM in there? You know, alternate and exactly. The Kinks.
Yeah, it's not about the genre. It's not about the genre. It's about the sound. If you have the same sound, you can dance between anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I sort of dance, like when I listen to the track, I sort of have my brain dancing, because one vibe I got from it was Last Shadow Puppets and Alex Turner vibes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's quite good. Because it's just the rhythm.
And he's a very good lyricist, Alex Turner.
Oh, yeah, he is. It's one of the North's greatest exports.
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree with that.
Obviously, this is probably the most inevitable subject that most bands are coming across now, obviously lockdown. How have you felt about it? Have you felt proactive, motivated? Have you been more productive in lockdown than you have, say, before the pandemic?
I guess it's different. Like, I don't know if everyone agrees, but it's mainly been about how to overcome, like, not having live gigs. That was something that took a lot of our times. Like, rehearsals were different. They were mainly focused on getting our live performance. Now we've got, like, we're still practicing just in case, like, to be ready when everything opens up. But a lot of our time has also gone to produce new demos. Like, clearly inside the band, we have evolved in the way we do stuff. So since Jason joined, we are also like taking it a bit farther, and we pay way more attention to our demos than before. Before, we would do a bit and then go to the studio and then polish it there. And since the last months, because of COVID, because of all the time we've had and because of all of that, we are dissecting the song way more, and it's been way easier, as you can hear, with Money and our next single that's going to come out next month.
What is the name of the new single, or what, like, have you got a name that's in the works, or?
It's Out of My Hands.
Like the sound of it.
Yeah, and that's going to be, I think it's a really good song, but that also represents like how the band has evolved sonically and like with the creative process inside of it. Yeah. It's still the great Leslie, but you're going to hear a different side of that alternative rock that we have been talking about, like, so broad. Still the same, but with a bit more influences of maybe a bit of electronic, maybe a bit more pop, maybe a bit with a different thing.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You are actually living up to the alternative in alternative rock. Different sounds.
Yeah, I think so. I think the new one that's coming out of My Hands has a bit more of that indie sort of vibe, and we're working on a few demos. We're in sort of the pre-production stage where I think it's done. I think we're ready to go into the studio to track another one after that, which is, you know, really a lot of sort of form fusion. So it's like a bit really heavy rock and then quite dancey in the chorus, and it's quite poppy. And it's kind of just, again, not trying to be limited by what the perception of it could be, but just sort of let where the song wants to go, let it go there, and then just really dive into it head up, full on. And I think like G said, I think that the music is maturing in a different way and is really lending itself to that more alternative side of the rock industry.
Obviously, you say like you have been in the studios and you do plan to be in the studios writing a demo. How is that going to work? Because obviously, you know, I don't know how rules are in studios, and, you know, obviously not being in a band myself, just being a music journalist, like, how does it work recording in studio during such an uncertain time where we can't be next to one each other?
The
demoing and all of that, we do it in between the rehearsal studio where we are all like in the same social bubble, I guess. As a band, and then we do it in our home studios. Like, everyone has a bit of equipment at home for the demos, at least, so we don't have to be like, we can do it quite effectively. like just going to each other's houses. And in the studio, it changed a bit, like the like face masks, everything needs to be wiped down. Clearly no one with any symptoms, like we need to be in contact with the producer a couple of weeks before just to know like what's like if everyone's feeling well, if there's a bit of a cough, we call it off and we push it a couple of weeks. Like it's just having more of a sense of like the safety of the others. And it's mainly that extra person that is going to be recording, because the four of us are together at least twice a week.
Yeah.
Like rehearsing, producing and all that. So we are mainly in the same environment. So it's just that extra person, like having his safety in account. And I guess the rest is quite simple. Like
yeah.
Musicians are in the other room and we never bring extra people. Like just because it's
yeah.
One, it distracts us, and the other one, it's not right now.
Yeah, so where we are actually is only five of us in the studio at one given time. Anyway, it's the four of us, and then five of us.
Yeah,
and then Dax, who is our regular producer. Yeah, but I mean, like last week we were supposed to be recording this week actually, but Ryan felt a bit ill. Did you have tonsillitis, Ryan?
Yeah, I had a temperature, so couldn't go because that's one of the three things to say you might have COVID, so you can't risk it, basically. So we had to call it off this week, go next week.
Yeah.
I had to get a test and all that.
I mean, Ryan, I can't imagine you being bored in lockdown when you've got your bird with you.
No. No, yeah.
You don't know how funny that actually is.
As you can see, he's pretty all over me all the time as well. So, yeah.
For our viewers and listeners, Ryan, what is the name? What's his name? I'm
pretty sure his name is
David.
His name is Bo.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, whoever's watching this, whoever's listening to this, we've got the great Leslie. We've got a mascot. Bo the bird.
I might change his name to Leslie, so we got that name there.
He can be the great Leslie, because obviously the logo was like a blonde quiff. Just stick a blonde toothpick on him.
Couple of extra feathers.
Yeah, I mean whatever goes really. Obviously, we just talked about studio there. You obviously use a because it says you're Spotify user from London, aren't you? What's the because obviously London. Is like a few weeks ahead of the country in terms of reopening, etc. I don't know. I don't have a clue. I don't think anyone has a clue at the moment what's going on. But with London, in terms of venues and like bars and you know nightlife, is it sort of 10 p.m. curfews or is it just like business as normal?
It's 10 p.m. curfews everywhere, but all of the music venues are not operating at all. Obviously, we did have one. Yeah, so there was one called Aklan, which is kind of like an outdoor eating venue, which we started to play at. But we've recently heard that they've had to close now as well. So unfortunately, still, there is really no gigging venues in London at the moment. We're just hoping that Rishi figures out that we need to fund them a little bit more.
Rishi said... during the week he said that you like people like yourselves should go retrain into low paid jobs where you can't barely pay the rent. So those are Rishi's advice to the music industry.
It's funny you said that. I went on the website yesterday to have a look and take all the questionnaire to see what I should retrain as, and it recommended I have a job in arts and media. Where I'm in.
Is that from the government website? No.
That's from the government website. They generally recommended I work in arts and media or creative industries.
Well done, Rishi.
I wouldn't hire you.
It is shocking.
No, I wouldn't hire me either.
Well done, Rishi. I mean, you need to retrain.
Can we get that again? Because I didn't hear that, but I like the end of it. So.
Well done, Rishi. You need to retrain.
Yeah. Rishi, listen to him. The entire listen to Ollie, Rishi, because in my opinion, I'm pretty sure the lads here agree with me. In my honest opinion, I think the entire cabinet should retrain. What did you do during lockdown? Did you just sit at a what sit facing the wall every single day? Did you not listen to music, or did you not?
It's also like impressive, like how mainly like a country as the UK that has this such rich, like in, not just in music, like in arts. The UK is some like a country that stands out worldwide in all the creative industry, and to hear the mayor of like the most important city going, ah, yeah, you know, like, yeah, fuck them. They just need to go and do something else. It's like, it's a core of like London, like in life in London, life in the UK.
I can imagine.
But, yeah, and also like Liverpool, Manchester, like all of the culture. I think it's quite sad. It's probably you could probably say it's the one remaining thing that Britain is probably world class and a leader at is the arts and culture and that side of things. And
Definitely. Well,
and I think the most worrying thing is, you know, some of the bands will probably survive this, but if the venues don't, the grassroots venues, then it doesn't really matter what happens after that, because we're not going to be getting the next Arctic Monkeys, and we're not going to be getting the next Oasis. We won't be getting them because they won't be able to play any of the grassroots venues that are now no longer there because they weren't funded properly.
Or because they are going to retrain and do something else.
Well, I mean, they'll probably end up like me and get to retrain in the arts and media again.
Well, actually, yeah. I saw something on Twitter earlier, and it was someone in the industry, and they, you know, pretty much done the test, what you've just done, and the government said, you should become a 19th century lighthouse keeper.
Oh, what job.
I wouldn't mind that.
I mean, you should definitely do that. Well, I mean, that supposes that you have a time machine, which is great.
But again, in a lighthouse, you would be very drawn. Like, you're clearly going to be very alone. And that's also, like, something that pushes into arts. Like, every country that has this kind of...
like a great recording studio, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It would make great acoustics. Like,
I saw another thing earlier today, and it was Germany, and they have the amount of support that they're giving artists and art galleries and venues. You know, it's amazing. It's probably they're probably heading in the right direction. They're probably, you know, showing us up a bit. Well, I mean, to be fair, they have done since World War II. They have been showing us up because they are a very culturally enriched, and they're proud of their culture. I mean, obviously, where I come from, obviously, in the north, northeast specifically, all we have is music, because obviously they thought it was a good idea to retrain all the miners. they want to retrain our miners. Yes,
I won't mind.
What he's coming out with here.
I don't mind this retraining. I don't mind retraining as long as they refund me for my university fees. That'd be quite nice.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Ryan, what they're going to tell you, though, they're just going to tell you to work hard and retrain.
Yeah, exactly.
I keep seeing there's lots more TV adverts for, like, join the Navy and stuff. Has anyone noticed?
Well, funny enough.
Join the Navy.
Hey, man. But just if you go with Poe and have, like, an eye patch. No,
that's probably what they look for in the Navy. Like, I mean, it's scary when the sort of dismantling an industry that was so rich in, like the music and the art, and then they're pushing Royal Navy adverts in places like Real, Newcastle, Blythe and Teesside. And it's sort of like, come on, you want us to go from creating songs about love to killing people? It just doesn't add up.
Not quite a similar vibe, is it?
No.
Quite weird.
Rishi doesn't vibe with me.
No, I don't think he vibes with anybody. God, imagine Rishi on a dance floor. I just imagine it's the pastiest thing you've ever seen.
Well, I mean, we saw from Theresa May a few years back, didn't we, when she came out dancing?
Gosh, yeah, her moves. They were pretty bad.
But obviously, like you did say that obviously grassroots venues are going to bear the brunt of this, because rightly they are. In London, I remember a few years back, and this is how like big this issue is. I remember interviewing Gengar there from London. I read a Gengar. Interviewed Gengar, and they were telling me about a venue in Stoke Newington, and they told me how important it is to the community and how important it is to the music and music fans and gig goers. and that venue was barely alive. And it just shows how, like, from, I think that was 2017. It's been 2017, 23 years. It's still going on, and it's, you know, the sort of showing the true colours, really. It just, it baffles me. It obviously baffles you, because obviously you make your living, like, most of your living's from music, so I feel bad for you.
Exactly, and so much of the economy, it comes from music. Is it over 100 billion the arts and culture industries?
Like 5.2 billion, as reported in 2017, according to UK Music. But it's probably grown more because we've had more bands, we've had more venues, we've had more festivals.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, like, you've got the theatre, which encourages people to, you know, encourages footfall, which then creates more revenue for HMRC and all that sort of thing, and that all of that's unviable. But then something like Amazon that pays literally fuck all tax and employs nobody. Well, I mean, they employ, you know, thousands, but compared to the arts industry.
Yeah, but we can't have a go at Amazon.
Like, the powerhouse of capitalism.
We can't have a go at capitalism because that's the system that they run on, and we can't have a go at Amazon because they're the best buddies. So, it just baffles me. It really does. I mean, in Middlesbrough, like, go back to the original subject I was saying about, like, gig venues being opened in London. Thankfully, in Middlesbrough, and Stockton and Hartlepool and the Teesside region, we still have gig venues open with a 10 p.m. curfew, socially distant gigs. I mean, that's going to be summit when you play in front of socially distant gigs. That's going to be an eyesore, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I've already done a couple. I've already played with a friend. She's got a band, and I did silent disco, but it was a silent live gig. So they all had headphones on, and they were all, like, distance from each other, and it was all
I've seen in Newcastle they had a series of they had a series of shows that are on that were run by Virgin, and it was the new, like, obviously trialing the social distance gigs, and it just looked like sheep and pens.
It looked,
you know, obviously, because obviously your music obviously is very, like, sort of, you know, upbeat. It's got a lot of rhythm. It's got, like, a very, like, lot of rhythm. And, you know, I bet you're used to people moshing at your gigs and those mosh pits. And now when you walk up the stage and you see people sitting in, like, a fenced-off area, I bet that's going to be like, you know, what's going on here?
You know, after so long just being inside and doing fuck all, apart from writing, obviously, and preparing for when we are out of this, it's just nice to go out and do something.
I mean, yeah, that
it's
is...
nice to go out and play.
I think I'm being too negative about it here, to be fair, because obviously I can imagine it's, like, a very sort of relief to just walk out and see loads of people that, you know, you haven't seen for about almost a year, and you're just like, oh, yes, I'm finally back playing live music.
Yeah, it's just amazing to have, like, people come up who haven't heard your music before. It's always nice to have that and, you know, tell them how much they enjoyed it and stuff, which is what we got at the Acklam Village Market, the place that Ryan mentioned. But obviously, I don't know when we're going to be able to do that again. The situation's far more dire in London in terms of music, I think.
Because obviously London, obviously you had the King of Rock, or King of Pop, King of Rock, you had Bowie from London, didn't you? And then you have, you know, you have so many talented musicians from London and so many talented musicians from the country. It's just a shame to sort of see them being sort of looked down on, really. It's sort of, you know, they're not getting £5.2 billion that you provide as you are representatives of the arts industry. Yeah, that's your thank you.
Yeah, I mean, all you can do is get angry about it, but because there's not much more we can really do. We just have to crack on.
I don't know if it was in your Instagram, Jason, but there was, like, a, I don't know if it was a tweet or it was a story, and it was someone complaining about this train thing, and it was a proposed what would happen if for a week there was a blackout, like in media,
so, like,
Spotify,
blackout.
Amazon, Netflix, like everything,
BBC iPlayer, like all of them just blacked
gone.
Out everything for a day, even just
what
a day,
happen,
24
then?
Hours. Just to show the UK how much they rely on arts and media and culture. And
who's gonna retrain? They're gonna have to retrain psychologists for people going mad from not having music. Like,
maybe we can become psychologists.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna take music from you and then charge you just to be able, like, you know, like.
It is, I mean, it's just a good way of making a quick buck off sort of people going mad, really. I mean, that's what most people do in this country anyway, by charging a few buck off people's sort of lunacy.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Obviously, if you had a sort of blackout, it would probably be, you know, the country will be on its knees and they'll come to you and with a bucket on the hands and knees, pretty much begging you to sort of stop the blackout. I think you should do it though. I think it's a great idea. I think if every musician and artist done it, it would just show them what they're missing.
Yeah,
it would be.
Well, let's organise it, chaps.
Yeah.
Let's organise it straight.
All right.
What day?
Blackout.
What day?
Blackout November.
I'm good, yes. Monday.
I don't want to do Monday. Monday's my day off. I want to watch Netflix.
Bro, you have like 7 days off a week now. We have to retrain.
Retrain as a 17th century lighthouse porter.
You'll go to mature college.
Give that a go.
Obviously.
It's online as well now, so.
£9,275 quid a year, and you're having one of these. I'm doing this for free.
To be fair, if they paid for tuition for me to retrain to another career, I'd think about it. I mean, I'd still do music. That's the thing as well. Even if you did retrain, even if in a year down the line you've got a job, like imagine some employer going, okay, you've retrained. Are you sure when the music industry doesn't open back up again, you're not just going to fuck off back to the stage? Yeah. Every musician is just going to go, no, I'll still be here. Yeah.
What do you want me to say?
Anyhow, that's obviously, you know, retrain. It's a terrible concept. It just doesn't make sense. But anyhow.
Almost as if he hasn't thought it through.
Well, I mean, it is the Conservatives after all.
Our songwriting master down the drain, Gene.
Anyhow, one thing that I do in this podcast, and it started in my first podcast episode of the Baltics, is that I get used to list your top five bevs, alcoholic or unalcoholic.
Oh,
give me
as a band or individually.
Top five what?
Top five bevs, top five drinks,
beverages. Oh.
Bevies.
I mean,
just got to translate it for the southerners.
I knew what that
is. Which one? I mean, which much. One's the one you take, Jason? Every time you're hungover, the puri, putti.
Oh God, yeah. Purdy Spitman drink. Whenever I'm hungover,
that has to be.
I can't get back on my feet without that.
Well, I mean, I normally ask individually, but Zoom have reminded me that I've got 8 minutes left of this meeting to record. So mm-hmm. I mean, thanks Zoom.
Okay.
Got a lot of content. But no,
we spent too long slagging off Rishi.
Damn, Rishi hey, getting all the limelight.
It was worth it, though. Rishi, yeah, can you refund us a Zoom membership?
Come on, Rishi, I don't get paid for this. And
come on, mate.
I'm part of the
industry. Put your hand in your pockets.
But no, just give me as a band, because obviously, you know, I tell our listeners and viewers, wherever they're viewing or listening this on, it's like how theirs fares to the bands that are on, so I'd be quite interested, because obviously you're from down south, so I'd be quite interested to see what yours are.
I like a good IPA, I have to admit.
I'm IPA.
For me, 5 points IPA is a really good brewery.
IPA is a good brewery. From the north, you'd be surprised that I drink that, because you think we all drink gravy, but IPA is a beautiful
drink. Don't. You don't drink gravy.
That's it. I'm selling my shares in Bisto.
We've got Jason's IPA. Right. Ryan.
Specifically, Ryan. 5 points. 5 points IPA.
5 points
I like IPA. I like punk IPA.
Punk IPA. IPA.
Bless right. you.
Guy. I'm gonna call you Guy, because I can't.
We're call him G.
Call him G.
Yeah, G. Right. What's yours?
I'd go with
tequila, you idiot.
We've only got 7 minutes left, mate. Come
you
on.
Can do tequila, yeah? Tequila.
Ooh, that is the strongest drink that I've had on this podcast.
He does pints as well.
Come on, Ollie. Because I'm going to think yours is going to be something exotic. So, if it's not exotic, I'm going to be disappointed.
Pina colada.
He's on a diet.
Malibu and Coke.
Long Island iced tea.
Iced tea.
Long Island iced tea.
Long Island iced tea. Well, that is very exotic. I've never had iced tea on before either, because it's either cups of tea or water. So I mean, iced
or gravy.
That's gravy. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got some
hot Bovril. Yeah, that's gravy.
I mean, to be fair, we do drink Bovril, so that's like
Yorkshire tea.
Oh, that is good tea, though.
Yorkshire tea is good tea, but I'm not from Yorkshire, so
that's up north.
I can't around there.
Up there, somewhere.
We don't all wear flat caps and trench coats.
What?
You've got to really try.
I'm learning so much on this podcast. I mean,
I'm from the North's version of I'm from the North's version of Chernobyl. So I mean, we just inhale toxic waste. No, it's a beautiful place. To be fair, though,
like Mexico City.
Over, you have got to come up Middlesbrough for a gig, because we do provide you with a good crowd and a good atmosphere.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, we've got the chicken parmesan, for God's sake. That's what else do you need to come up here?
I'm sold. I'm there.
You've never heard of a chicken parmesan before, have you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. So in Middlesbrough, we have
assuming it's not the food.
We have this.
Is it the food?
Yeah, it's a food.
Oh, if it's a food, yeah. I thought you were saying like it was a club. And no, I was like, why have you got a club after?
Why would a club, Jason? Have the word.
I don't know. You do crazy shit up north. I don't fucking know. You drink gravy. I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Excuse him. He's the bass player.
Yeah, no one listens to me anyway. It's fine.
Sorry, what?
Anyway, the chicken parmo, it is basically a chicken breast with breadcrumbs, bechamel sauce and cheese on. That's all it is.
Oh, so good.
It doesn't sound exciting, but trust me, it is.
So you're going to bring that to our gig?
Well, yeah, if you come to Middlesbrough, I'll have to bring you a parmo.
Chicken parmo's all round.
Chicken parmo's all round. All he knows is backstage chicken passes. Parmo's all round. If you come to the Great Leslie's gig,
I'll bring the gravy.
Come on, Jason, you overplayed it. No, yeah, I'll bring the gravy. I'll bring that.
Hey, that wasn't me. That was Ryan. He's being the cocky one. Ryan, you don't bring gravy up north. It's already there, Ryan.
No, Ryan,
yeah, no, that sounds really good. Let's get up there. Let's get up and play a gig.
Yeah, Middlesbrough. It's, you know, help local venues. We're coming near the end of the podcast, and obviously we've took up most of it with a big F you to Rishi Sunak.
Fine by me. I'm happy.
Quite rightly.
It's fine by me. And
I'm well spent.
What's my chest now?
My last question is, do you have any, and obviously I know it's a bit sort of, it's a bit hypocritical saying this because we've already just done it, but do you have any words to the UK government about our industry? Just come on, all of you in sync. Just
take me a second.
I think just for once in their lives, would they just be nice?
That's too much, Jason.
Just be nice. Just be decent people for once. That's all we ask.
I mean, can you really put the words decent and Boris Johnson together?
No, not really.
He's a decent idiot.
You're an idiot.
They're very
good. But Richie, I don't think you're ever going to listen to this, but if it comes across your feed, if it comes across in any of your social medias, please note that you are pretty much, and these lads will tell you are pretty much killing an industry that has made this country what it is. So instead of making the Great Leslie ungreat, start making the Great Leslie great again.
Great.
Hey. There it is. That is the sign off.
We end on that.
We end the podcast on that. That's perfect.
Can we have a
end on that.
Trump wink?
I just want to make sure, obviously, you've got money out. You've got your new single out next month, which is, if you remind me again what the name of the new single is, that is out next month.
Out of My Hands.
Out of my hands. It should be available on all streaming platforms, I imagine. These are cracking lads. Come on, do your bit. Do your country's duty and listen to small independent bands. That's all I'm urging you to do. So listen to The Great Leslie. And listen to many bands like The Great Leslie, because many bands like these need your support more than ever.
Yeah, we do.
And
yeah, we really do.
And I'll say this again. But just keep making the great Leslie great again.
Great.
Hashtag make the Leslie great again.
Once it's get out, we should hashtag it on the social. I'll tell our editor to name the episode hashtag make.
It's definitely going up.
But no, it's been great having you on, lads. I've enjoyed it more than
anything. Thanks,
Jack. I hope you've enjoyed it. Enjoyed the nice little bit of coverage in these uncertain times, which is obviously, you know, if your monthly viewers don't quadruple by the time this is out, then I've not done my thing.
Much appreciated. It's much appreciated.
It's good. It's been a lot of fun as well. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
More than welcome. I'll see you later.
Yes, see you, Jack. Thanks.
See you in a bit. Enjoy, lad.
Chicken parmesan.
To try gravy in a mug. It's the best thing ever.